So the we're going to read a few sections from Sefer Melachim. Sefer Melachim Beis Perek Yud Zayin. Perek Yud Ches rather. Vayi b'shnas shalosh l'Hoshea ben Ola melech Yisrael, Malachis Kiyo ben Achaz melech Yehuda. Ben Esrim b'chamei shana haya b'malcho, ve'esrim b'teisha shana malach b'Yerushalayim. He's relatively young when he takes over. He's 25 years old, Chizkiyo. And he has a reign for 29 years. Le'asa yashar be'enei Hashem k'chol asher asa David Aviv. Chizkiyo is said explicitly in the Psukim, that he was the greatest king of Amleches Yehuda. Va'acharav lo haya kamo b'chol malchei Yehuda va'asher hayu lefanav, not before him and not after him, which is an incredible statement, that he was the greatest king of the whole line of the Davidic kings. Hu heisir es habamos v'shiber es hamatzevos. He took down all of the private altars that were all over Eretz Yisrael, which we will soon see. The private altars are not talking about pagan altars. They're talking about private mizbechos that people built to sacrifice to Hashem. Like Bamos, exactly. Yeah. The chiseis nechash hanechoshas asher osa Moshe. And the snake of copper that Moshe had fashioned in the Midbar, he destroyed it. They turned that snake into some type of like idolatrous entity, and they would pray to it. So he destroyed it. He was incredibly loyal and faithful to Hashem. And at that time, Melech, right, the Assyrian Empire, which had conquered Mamleches Yehuda and was extracting taxes from them, so he rebelled against the Assyrian king. Vuhika es haPelishtim ad Aza, and he decided to take the initiative and take care of the other enemy of the Jewish people, which were the Philistines, right, on the coast that for that entire time had been causing problems for the Jewish people. Okay. Now, the highlight of Chizkiyo's experience as king comes in Perek Yutes of Sefer Melachim, right? With the famous invasion of the Assyrian king Sancheriv, and he sweeps through Mamleches Yehuda and conquers every single city basically that he tries to conquer, with the exception of Yerushalayim. But he's sweeping through the entire country, and things are not looking good. Okay. Now, the Assyrian army, it says it's a large, massive army of 180,000 soldiers, and they come to Yerushalayim by Yishlach Melech Ashur es Tartan, ves Rav Saris, ves Rav Shakeh. He sends the king of Assyria sends these three messengers, right, his high-ranking officers, to go to Yerushalayim. Vayikru el HaMelech, and they call out to the king. They're standing, right, at the foot of the wall of Yerushalayim, and they're calling out to the people on the wall. Yeah? Vayomer alehem Rav Shakeh, and Rav Shakeh calls out, Imru na el Chizkiyo, go tell your king Chizkiyo. Ma bitachon hazeh asher batachta, why are you relying on this folly? They think that you can be saved from me. Advar sfasayim etzel gvura lemilchama, it takes more than just talk to win a war. Meaning you can't just talk and say everything will be okay and hope that it turns out okay. It's not how wars work. It's like you're trying to put all of your weight on a reed that when you try to lean on it, it's going to crack and break. And if you're going to tell me that you're relying on God, on Hashem, your God, to save you, Halo hu asher hisir chizkiyo es bamusav. God is angry at you. You know why? Because Chizkiyo took away all of the bamos that people were using to sacrifice to God. Right? One of the big initiatives of Chizkiyo was to make sure that people only came to the Beis HaMikdash to bring korbanos. Now that would be the epicenter of Avodas Hashem. And he removed all of the private bamos. And Rav Shakir continues, Ata hamibalade Hashem alisi al makom hazeh la'ashchiso, Hashem amar elai aleho aratadoz la'ashchiso. Your God, Hashem, He's the one that told me to come and destroy all of you. Vayomer El Yakim ben Chilkiyo, El Yakim, which I think we talked about this character before in a previous Chabura. El Yakim is the maskir, he's the secretary, the private secretary of the king. And he calls out, Al tadaber imanu Yehudis, don't speak Hebrew to us. Ela Aramis, kishomim anachnu, we understand Aramaic. If you have a message for us, tell us in your language. And don't let the people hear, because you're demoralizing them. And Rav Shakeh says, Vayomer aleim Rav Shakeh, ha'al adonecha ve'elecha shalachani adoni ledaber? You think I'm here to speak to you? Halo el ha'anashim hayoshvim ala choma. I'm here to speak to your people. I'm intentionally speaking Hebrew so that your people will understand. He's intentionally trying to demoralize them. I'm skipping forward to the very end of Perek Yudches. Va'yavoel Yokim ben Chilkiyah asher al habayis v'shebna sofer v'yoach ben Asaf. The servants of the king that heard this whole speech of Rav Shakeh, right? El Chizkiyo kruye bigadim. They have their garments torn. Vayagidu lo divrei Rav Shakeh. And they tell him over what Rav Shakeh had said. Chazal learned from this, by the way, lahalacha lamaisa, that if a person hears someone speak out a curse to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, someone hears someone curse the name of God, they're chayav to rend their garments. In the same way that if you're, God forbid, in the presence of a Jew passing away, or you see a Sefer Torah being destroyed, God forbid, right? There's certain events where you have to tear your garments as if you're mourning for a close relative. You know, if a person hears God's name being cursed, they have to tear their garments. So they come to Chizkiyo with torn clothing because they hear a Rav Shakeh taunting and tormenting not only Jewish people, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Huh? That's correct. Specifically Yud Kei Vav Kei. Not just saying the word God or some other generic term. It's specifically Yud Kei Vav Kei. Vayikishma melech Chizkiyo vayikras bigadav. He also rends his garments. Vayiskas b'sak vayavo beis Hashem. And he covers himself with sackcloth and he comes to the mikdash and he prays. Right? Kibon banim ad mashber v'koach ayin leleida. Because your children have come to the point of having to give birth. He's likening the Jewish people. The Jewish people are in a state where, like a woman is about to give birth. It's right. It's the height of the crisis, so to speak. And they have no strength to actually see the process through. It's like they're in a crisis and they've lost all capacity to continue. Now, Yishayahu, who is the prophet at that time, he comes to Chizkiyo. We're skipping ahead, and this is the end of Perek Lamed. And he informs him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in fact heard his tefillah. Vayishlach Yishayahu ben Amoz el Chizkiyo lemor, Ko amar Hashem Elohei Yisrael, asher yispalalta elai el Sancheriv melech Ashur shamati. I have heard your tefillah regarding the king of Ashur. Skipping forward, Vayhi balayla ahu, on that night, Vayetze malach Hashem vayach b'machane Ashur mea shmone chamishim olef. And he wiped out the whole 185,000 soldiers, Vayashkima b'boker v'hinei kulam pegori mesim. The whole army was dead. And that was it. They're all saved. Huh? 185,000? 185, yeah, excuse me, I said 180, that's incorrect. Right, it's 185. It's 185. Last part of the story, skipping ahead to the middle of Perek Chaf. Ba'isahi, after this whole story happened, this miraculous, incredible salvation the Jewish people experienced, right? Which includes Chizkiyo's personal salvation, because as the psukim say, Bayamim ha'im chala Chizkiyo lamus, Chizkiyo himself fell ill, probably because of all the stress, right? You probably imagine that, you know, the pressure that he was experiencing, right? probably, you know, could have contributed to his illness, right? Hizkiyahu is going to die, and Yishayahu comes and tells him, yep, you're going to die, you know, make sure that you, you know, have your affairs in order because you're going to die. And Hizkiyahu prays not only for the salvation of the Jewish people as a whole, but for his own salvation, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears his tefillah and saves Hizkiyahu as well. This is a personal salvation for Hizkiyahu and for all the Jewish people. And Ba'esahi, after these miracles occur, okay, Shalach Brodach Baladan ben Baladan Melech Bavel, the king of Bavel, okay? The antagonist in the story until this point has been Assyria, Ashur, okay? Now Bavel comes into the picture. Why is Bavel coming into the picture? Ki Shema, Ki Chalach Hizkiyahu, they hear about these events that are going on in this far-off little backwater kingdom called Judea. They hear, wow, the Assyrians invaded, and usually they just sweep the floor with whoever it is that they're attacking, but for some reason it didn't work out this time. What happened? So the king of Bavel sends messengers to Judea to ask, to inquire, what happened? Vayishmaelem Hizkiyahu, and Hizkiyahu hears them, Vayareim es kol beis nechos ves hakesef ves hazav beis habisamim ves kol keilav ves kol asher nimtza be'otz rosav. He takes him on the grand tour of Jerusalem. He shows him all of his stuff. He shows him the Beis HaMikdash. He shows him the treasury of the king. Okay? He shows him everything. And after they leave, after these Babylonian messengers leave, okay, Yishayahu approaches Hizkiyahu, okay, and asks them, who are these people and what do they have to say to you? Right? So Hizkiyahu says, they came from this faraway land, they came from Babylonia to speak to me. What did they see? And Hizkiyahu says, it's called Shabbat Beisiro. I showed them everything. Everything that I have, I showed them. There was nothing in my treasury, in my storehouses, that I didn't show them. I showed them everything. Listen to the word of God. Everything in your house, and everything that you've stored away, everything in your treasury that you've shown them, okay? Will be taken away and brought into exile into Bavel. This is the first time that we're hearing that there will be an exile brought about by Bavel. This is generations in the future, right? We have between Hizkiyahu and Tzidkiyahu, we have Menashe, we have Amon, we have Yehoyakim, Yehoyachin, Tzidkiyahu. Yeah, so that, right, this is like many generations into the future that Bavel is gonna come. This is the first time that we're hearing about it. Okay? He's saying, because you showed these people everything in your house and everything in the treasury and everything in the Beis HaMikdash, because you did that, okay, you have opened the door for Bavel to come back later on, many generations from now. They're going to come back and they're going to take everything that you showed them, they're going to take into exile. Vayomer Chizkiyahu Yishayahu, Tov Dvar Hashem Asher Dibarta. Okay, the word of God is good, meaning, like, I accept what you said. Vayomer Halohim Shalom Ve'emes Yeh Be'yomai. As long as things are quiet while I'm alive. As long as this happens after I'm gone. So, that's the end of the story. V'yeser divrei Hizkiyahu v'chol gvurasav, and all the other actions of Hizkiyahu, halohem ksuvim, al sefer divrei hayamim v'malchei Yehuda. They are written down in the chronicles of the kings of Judea. So, that's the end of Hizkiyahu's story. It's a very, very interesting story. Very, very puzzling. We're going in now to Chodesh Nisan, which is the formative experience of the Jewish people. And it's not just Yetzias Mitzrayim, the 7 days that we celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim, but really the entire month is characterized by this. Ad kidei kach, that the Haggadah, as we all know, says, Yachol Mirosh Chodesh. It could be that, right, there is a Hava Amina, that it's an obligation to say the Haggadah already from the beginning of the month. Right? That's a legitimate Hava Amina, because the whole month is characterized by this theme of salvation, right? Collective Yeshua of the Jewish people. Indeed, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the very end of the month, it's considered a semi-Yom Tov. We don't say Tachanun the entire month. It's forbidden to declare a public fast day. There is an element of Yom Tov the entire month of Nisan. The month of Nisan is the formative experience of the Jewish people. There's a unique theme permeating the entire month. And to hone in a little bit on what is going on in this month, through the prism of this story of Hizkiyahu, the first thing that I want like to point out about this, okay, is this character Rav Shakeh. Rav Shakeh comes and he's taunting the people on the wall. Okay? He's speaking to them. He's saying, first of all, everything that you're relying on, it's not just false security, but it's completely hopeless. You're relying on this ally in Egypt to come and help you. He's not going to come and help you. You're relying on God to come and help you. He's for sure not going to come to help you. God told me to come and kill all of you. Okay? And all the people that you, all these people that you're in charge of, that you're supposed to take care of, and it's your responsibility to keep them safe, I'm going to kill all of them. And the ones that are surviving, I'm going to bring them into exile. Okay? And he's mecharef umegadef. He's sitting there taunting the people in this incredibly cruel way, right? They know how to demoralize people, right? It's all psychological warfare, right? This character, Rav Shakeh, as we will see in Chazal, this character, Rav Shakeh, is none other than the son of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He is Chizkiyahu HaMelech's son, as we will see. Rav Shakeh. Chizkiyahu has two very, very, very problematic children. One is Rav Shakeh, the other is Menashe. Okay? Menashe, who comes right after Chizkiyahu. And he does a 180, seemingly, from what Chizkiyahu does. Chizkiyahu is this incredibly, right, zealotrous for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He removes all the Avodah Zarah, even the Bamos that are directed towards Avodah Hashem. He removes them because, as we know, they're illegitimate. All the Karbonos have to be in the Beis HaMikdash. That has to be the epicenter of all of Avodah Hashem. He's extremely zealotrous. We see in Divrei HaYamim, we don't need to go into the Psukim themselves, one of the institutions of Chizkiyahu is to renew the establishment of the Kohanim and the Levim so that they will go and spread Torah throughout the Jewish people. He organizes them into groups, right? You guys go here and teach Torah, you guys go there and teach Torah. He makes sure that they all have parnassah so that they can, you know, go and do their thing and teach Torah throughout the entire country. Chizkiyahu makes literally a religious revolution. Okay? After many, many years under the rule of his father Achaz, who was not into the whole Torah program at all, to put it lightly, right? He literally makes a religious renaissance. Ad kidei kach, that the psukim themselves say that there was no king as great as Chizkiyahu in this regard. No one. Right? Chazal, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, daf Tzadi Dalin, right? And we will read this Gemara inside shortly. That Chizkiyahu HaMelech had the potential to be the Mashiach. This was going to be the final showdown, right? Mashiach versus Gog Umagog was going to be Chizkiyahu versus Asher, right? But it didn't work out, as we see. Okay, the schism that Chizkiyahu experiences and his ultimate downfall, which we already see in the Psukim, is characterized by the fall of his two children. Reading from the Gemara in Brachos. Now, this is a bit misleading to say this is a Gemara in Brachos, because in the standard editions of the Vilna, you won't find it. It's not here. Where is it? It's in the Hagos Habach. This is a censored section from the Gemara that you can easily miss. Okay? The context of this Gemara is darshaning the Psukim that we just read, that Chizkiyahu, right, from Malachim Perakof, that Chizkiyahu, he falls ill during the siege of Yerushalayim, he falls ill, and Yishayahu tells him that he's going to die. And the Gemara says that Chizkiyahu tells Yishayahu, he tells your prophecy, right? Kalei nevuascha, right? Get rid of your, right? Forget your prophecy. I have a masora from David HaMelech himself. Even if you have the sword is touching the person's neck and he's about to die, he should not refrain from praying. Meaning, even if it's been decreed through prophecy that I'm going to die, I still have the option open to me that I can pray for my salvation, which he does, and indeed he's saved. Okay? That's the story in the Gemara in Brachos. Now, what's the little added story, okay? The story is as follows. The Gemara already says that Yishayahu explains to Chizkiyahu But the reason that it's been decreed upon him that he's going to die is because he's failed to have children. Right? Lo asakti b'peri v'rivya. He's failed to have children. Okay? And Chizkiyo says, right? Nigla alai beruach hakodesh. It's been revealed to me prophetically, right? Dahavuli b'nin d'lo male. That my children are not going to be righteous. So I've refrained from having children because I know through ruach hakodesh that my children will not be righteous. Okay? He'll be Rishoy. And Yishayahu tells him, that's not your problem, right? You have to do what you need to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, you know, sort it out from there. Yeah. Okay. Says the Bach, L'sof Yoiv Le Brate. Yishayahu marries off his daughter to Chizkiyo. Okay. Nefak minei Menashe v'Rav Shakeh. Menashe and Rav Shakeh are born from this marriage. Yom Echada, one day, Arkevinu Akatvei Lamtuvinu Lebe Midrasha. Chizkiyo is taking both of them, Menashe on one shoulder and Rav Shakeh on the other shoulder, taking them to the Beis HaMedrash. Omar Chad Minaya, one says, okay, Rav Shakeh says, Chozi Reisha Da'aba Lamtuvei Be Gildone. Our father's head is so nice, okay, it is worthy of roasting meat on his head. Right? That's the translation of the words. Chazi reisha da'aba lam tuve be gildonai. The Chadamar and Menashe says, Chazi reisha da'aba la kruve ole la'akum. Our father's head is so nice, it's worthy of making an altar out of his head to idolatry. Chavtinu ba'ara. Chizkiyo hears these comments of his sons. He takes them off his shoulders and throws them both on the ground. Menashe chaya, Menashe lives, v'Rav Shakeh nis, and Rav Shakeh dies. Kriya nafshe, b'chli kelov re'im, the pasuk in Yishayahu, right? My all of my instruments have been proven faulty. The instruments, in this context, being his children. Now, what is the problem with the story? What? He does die eventually. He dies with all the with the whole Assyrian army. It's a much more fundamental problem with the story. Much more fundamental problem with the story, guys. Just the chronological order. This is during the siege, right? Right. Okay. It's during the siege of Assyria. Okay. And Yishayahu comes and says, "Yeah, I have children. Okay, fine. I'll marry my daughter off to you." And from that marriage comes Rav Shakeh and Menashe. Rav Shakeh is already alive. He's already in the story. He's a grown adult. He just stood there, like, screaming at everyone. That's what we just read in the story. Yeah?
Could just be a very long siege.
What? No, it happened before. Rav Shakeh comes to Yerushalayim before this incident happens. Rav Shakeh is already alive. He's already there. What? We see in the context of the story that this is, in fact, that if you want a makor for this, Rashi says explicitly, Chala Chizkiyo, on the pasuk Chala Chizkiyo, he says, Shlosha Yamim Lifnei Yeshua. This is 3 days before the Assyrian army is wiped out. Yeah. So just chronologically, it can't happen. Okay? We see also Chizkiyo dies. Explicitly, he says, right? Yishayo tells him he's going to live for 15 more years. God added 15 more years to his life. He passes away. And when does Menashe start ruling? As we'll see in the psukim explicitly in a minute, okay? Menashe begins his rule when he's 12 years old. So Menashe and Rav Shakeh are not alive at the same time. Rav Shakeh dies at least 3 years before Menashe is even born. So there's an important yesod that we have to understand in order to properly interpret the story, okay? There is a device used in Chazal, okay, to explain themes in Tanakh that are... The technical expression of this is an archetypical story. What does that mean? It means that the characters in the story are not the actual individuals in that they're expressing. Rather, it's expressing a pattern that the different elements in the pattern are being expressed by different characters. Another very, very important example of this, just to highlight that this is in fact a thing, okay? If anyone's learned the Gemara in Makos before, right? Daf Yud Aleph, remember a story. That's why people that learn Makos here a few times, okay? So, in the Gemara in Makos on Daf Yud Aleph, it talks about David HaMelech when he acquires Harabias, okay, very, very end of Shmuel Beis, he acquires Harabias, and he's digging the Shittim, okay? What happens? You want to fill us in on the story? Right? What happens? He's digging the Shittim, and he, like, he hits some type of, like, underground aquifer or something, and water is shooting up, and it's going to, like, drown the whole world. There's so much water. So he's trying to think of what he can do in order to stop the water. So he says, whoever knows what to do, tell me. And so Achitofel speaks up and says, oh, if the HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed you to write Shem Hashem and erase it in order to bring Shalom between a man and a woman, i.e. in the context of Sota, okay? So Kal Vachomer, in order to save the whole world, so that's what they do. They write down Shem Hashem, they throw it into the water, and the water subsides. What's the problem with that story? What's the problem with that story? Also, a chronological problem. When does Achitofel die? Achitofel dies how? Right, because he kills himself, right? Because he realizes that the rebellion is not going to go well, so he kills himself. And only much later, years later, does David HaMelech acquire Harabias. This is not, historically, this doesn't work out, right? This is called, okay, the interpretation of that particular story, be that as it may, put it on the side. I'm just highlighting the fact that Chazal used this device, that there are different characters from different periods of time that are interacting with each other, okay? And it's not talking about an historical event. Rather, it's highlighting a pattern of interaction between these people. This is also the way that we need to approach this story that is being given over in the Gemara and Brachos. Chizkiyahu HaMelech is taking his sons to the Beis HaMedrash. What does that mean, taking his sons to the Beis HaMedrash? This is Chizkiyahu's life. This is Chizkiyahu's value. He's bringing everyone to the Beis HaMedrash. Literally, right? He gets rid of all the Avodah Zarah, gets rid of all the Bamos. He hires all the Kohanim and all the Levim to get to, right, to teach Torah to the Jewish people. He re-consecrates the Beis HaMikdash, right, which is a whole, right, the whole progression of Perek Yutes is about the re-consecration of the Beis HaMikdash in the time of Chizkiyahu, because it was totally abandoned. Before Chizkiyahu became king, the Beis HaMikdash was completely abandoned, the Mikdash of Shlomo HaMelech. Yeah? This is Chizkiyahu's focus in life, right, to bring the Jewish people, and certainly his own children, to the Beis HaMedrash, right? When his two sons, again, who did not live at the same time, they didn't live at the same time, but it's highlighting the different perspectives that these two sons had, okay? Rav Shakeh, why did he betray his father and join the Assyrians, the arch enemies of the Jewish people, okay, and become a facilitator of this, right, of this huge enemy of the Jewish people, right? He said about his father, okay, what did he say? My father's head is so nice, it's worth roasting good meat on. What does that mean? It means, Abba, why are you so concerned about this religious stuff, about this Torah stuff? Why aren't you providing for the material needs of the people? Your job as the king is to make sure that the people are materially taken care of. What are you doing with focusing all this energy on the Beis HaMikdash and all this energy on the Karbanos and then the Levium and all this Torah stuff? Why are you interested in that? That's not what you're supposed to be doing. Okay? And indeed, Rav Shakeh, when he comes to Yerushalayim, that's his whole rebuke of the people. He's saying, listen, Chizkiyahu has been focused so much on reinvigorating the Beis HaMikdash and reinvigorating Torah, and meanwhile, he's brought you into this horrible mess. Look where you are now. You're locked into, right? You're under siege. You're all starving to death. Yeah? He even says, it's incredibly crass what he says, right? Le'echol eschoreim v'lishtos eschineim. To eat their own refuse. That's what you're doing now. You're all starving. You're all so hungry. This is what you've been reduced to. Right? This is Rav Shakeh. This is Rav Shakeh's rebuke of his father. Right? He can't stand how his father is so focused on all this material, on all this spiritual stuff, to the neglect, so to speak, of the material well-being of the people. What is Menashe's rebuke? Yeah, go ahead. Because he feels that his father isn't. He thinks that his father. He has a fundamental disagreement with his father about how he should be running things. Assyria is all about providing the people with what they want. Listen to a pasuk which we skipped. I shouldn't have skipped this pasuk before. This is from Rav Shakeh's speech to the people on the wall. Ad shehivesi eschem el eretz ka'artzechem. Don't worry. I'm going to take you all into exile, but don't worry. the land that I'm going to bring you to is going to be just as good as your land. Eretz Chito, Sorah, V'Gefen, right? It's going to have all the, right, the produce of Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be there. Don't worry, right? Think about what that means for a second. That would be like me coming to you saying, I'm going to take you away from your family. You're never going to see your father and your mother and your sisters and your brothers again. But don't worry. I'm going to bring you to another family, and they're going to be just as good. Maybe just as good as your current family. What's missing in that state? What's missing there is that the person doesn't see any inherent value in the relationship that you have with your family. I'm not measuring the quality of my family and, you know, in the, you know, how good my mother's food is and, you know, how much money my father makes and, you know, how not, like, these are material, these are superficial things. These are completely superficial things. I have a relationship with my family. That's why I love my family. Yeah? But Rav Shakeh's lens towards the world, his outlook on reality, is that as long as things are as materially good as they are now, there's no difference. That's Rav Shakeh's fundamental approach to reality. And this is why he has such a schism with his father. He's saying, why are you so interested in this religious revival? That's not your job. And it's such a waste. Yeah? Before we get into Menashe, let's just read what the Psukim have to say about Menashe. It's really quite a puzzle what the deal with Menashe is. Ben 12 shana Menashe b'malcho, he was 12 years old when he began to become the 55 shana malach b'Yerushalayim. And he's 55 years old, and he rules for 55 years. Vayas hara b'nei Hashem, he does all of the evil in God's eyes. Vayoshev ayiben es habamos asher ibed Chizkiyo, he rebuilds all of the altars that Chizkiyo had built. Vayokem mizbechos labal, and he establishes altars for Avodah Zarah, right? Uvana mizbechos bebeis Hashem, and he builds some of these altars to Avodah Zarah in the actual Beis Hamikdash. And then the pasuk says something very interesting: Vayatayim Menashe laasos hara. Menashe tricked the people into doing all this evil. He tricked them. He tricked them into doing evil. Vayachati gamas Yehuda begilulav, and he caused the people of Yehuda to sin. He tricked them. I believe, Rabosai, what this is saying is that the whole institution of... Right, excuse me, before we get there. The gam damnaki shofach larov. He spilled blood indiscriminately, right? Ad shemilez Yerushalayim peh el peh, until he filled Jerusalem from mouth to mouth with blood of the innocent. Okay? What does this mean that Menashe tricked the people? He tricked the people of Yehuda into worshipping Avodah Zarah. What I believe this means, Rabosai, is that Menashe is the opposite pole of Rav Shakeh. Whereas Rav Shakeh is focusing on all of the material-oriented jobs of the king, and that he feels that this is the only legitimate job of the king, to be focused on the material well-being of the people, and any focus on the spiritual revival and bringing the people closer to Torah, it's a complete waste. That's Rav Shakeh's outlook. Menashe is the opposite outlook. Menashe saying, look what my father was able to do. He was able to bring about such a revival and gain the loyalty of the people through bringing them close to the Mikdash. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play the religious card. I'm going to play the religious card in spades. Not only am I going to have the Beis HaMikdash, but I'm going to have Avodah Zarah too. I'm going to bring the Balas also. Menashe uses the tool of the religious revival in order to solidify his melucha, in order to make himself more powerful. Right? And as the Ralbag says on this pasuk, what does it mean, Ad shemileis Yerushalayim peh el peh bedam, that he killed innocent people until the whole Yerushalayim was filled with blood? The Ralbag says on this pasuk that who is he killing? He's not killing indiscriminately. He's killing the people that object to this program. Anyone that objects to the reinstitution of Avodah Zarah, he dispenses with them. Let me read you a fascinating Gemara from the Bavli and Yavamos. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So we'll see in a minute. This is from the Bavli and Yavamos on Daf Memtes Amud Beis. Huh? This is in Yavamos Memtes Amud Beis. Tani Shimon ben Azai, Shimon ben Azai says, Matsasi Megillas Yochsin, I found a old discarded scroll, B'Yushalayim. It was, I dug it up in Jerusalem. The Chasuv Ba, and it said in it, what did it write? So it says that there are a few teachings that he found on this scroll, okay? But one of the things that it says, Menashe Harog Es Yishayahu. How does Yishayahu die? Menashe has him executed. That's how he dies. Avaraba, Meidan Dainei. He brought him to a Beis Din. Menashe brings him to a court. Amar Le, Moshe Rabcha Amar Ki Lo Yironi HaAdam V'Chai. Moshe, your teacher, meaning, right, he's the teacher of, right, but he's the Av Hanavian, as we say, right? So all the prophets are Kilu, the disciples of Moshe. Moshe, your teacher, said, Lo Yironi HaAdam V'Chai, no living man can see God, okay? The Atamar, but you say in your own prophecy, the Eres Hashem, Yoshev Al Kisei Rav Menisa, I saw God sitting on his throne. Moshe Rabcha Amar Ki Mi Ka Hashem Elokeinu B'chol Kareinu Elav. Who is like our God, who is close to us in all of our callings to Him? That Amar Dushu Hashem B'Yimatzel. No, you can only call out to God when He's close. And Menashe brings all these kashas from the prophecy of Yishayahu that seemingly contradict the things that Moshe Rabbeinu said. Amar Yishayahu Yadanabe Delo Mekabel Ma'de'ema. Yishayahu, instead of answering him, because he knows he's not going to take any answer that I give him. He's not going to accept. This is all a ploy, right? He's not actually interested in the answers, okay? Amar Sham Ivla Ba'arza, right? So he performed a miracle on the spot, Yishayahu. He ran away, and he swallowed himself, so to speak, in a tree, right? Like he was like consumed in this tree that no one could like get him because he was in the trunk of this massive tree, right? In Erez, a cedar. This massive tree, okay? Asuola Arza, Omar Asuola Arza Venasrua. So Menashe says, go cut down the tree. Go cut down the tree. Okay? Kimata Lahade Puma, when the people chopping down the tree arrived at Yishayahu's mouth, Noch Nafshe, he died. That's when he died. Mishum de Omar Obasoch Am Tames Fasai Manuchi Yoshaves, right? One of the early prophecies of Yishayahu was that he spoke negatively about the Jewish people, that the Jewish people are a group of impure mouths. So since he degraded the entire Jewish people, saying that they had impure mouths, so that's how Yishayahu himself left the world, Kilu as a rebuke for speaking negatively about the Jewish people. Anyway, but be that as it may, what we see from this Gemara is that Menashe is using the face of Avodas Hashem as a way of propping up his own malchus, yeah? And anyone that objects to this expanding of the, of the religious application, of the religious zeal that he's expressing, right? This pagan religious zeal, anyone that comes and objects against that, he offs them, essentially. He gets rid of them, right? He just politically manipulates the situation to make it look like he can justify killing them. Vayat aim es Yehuda, and he tricks the people of Yehuda into going in on this path with him. Right. What's interesting to note is that after Menashe dies, his son Amon, who's also a completely corrupt and wicked king, it says about Amon vayazov es Hashem, that Amon abandoned God, which it doesn't say about Menashe. It doesn't say that Menashe abandoned God. It says that Amon abandoned God. Right. Menashe didn't abandon God in the classical sense. He was trying to expand it. He was trying to expand this, this religious zeal and use that as a tool to get more unity, to strengthen the people, etc. Right? But he didn't abandon Hashem. Indeed, in Divrei HaYamim, it adds a very, very important fact that we don't see in Sefer Malachim, that Menashe is brought into exile by the king of Bavel. He's brought into exile. And while he's in exile, he does tshuva. It says this in Divrei HaYamim explicitly. Right? And the Melech Bavel brings him back to Yerushalayim, and he's able to live out his days in relative peace. Yeah? So Menashe isn't a bad guy in the classical sense. He's not doing this in order to remove the people from Avodas Hashem. But rather he's using Avodas Hashem as a tool in order to prop himself up and ki'ilu strengthen the people. This is what the Gemara means, the Gemara in Brachos, when we said before, that Rav Shakeh says that my father, what he should be doing, is he should be roasting meat for the people. That's what he should be doing. All of my father's prowess and all of his skills as a leader, that should be used to support the people materially. And Menashe says the exact opposite. He says, no, my father's leadership, my father's skills as a leader, that should be used to totally, you know, to the greatest extent, play this religious revival card. And to, right, to do, he's, right, he's holding back. He's limiting himself to the Beis HaMikdash, right? We see this, Rabosai, this could seem as something that is like, you know, something distant that happened in the, you know, in the faraway past that isn't related to us, but really these things, you know, are happening every day. They're just two sides of the populist coin, right? The populist leader who's trying to pander to the people, either he's going to use the side of material wealth, right, to get the people to support him because he's promising them material well-being, or he's going to feed some type of empty ideology to them, and that ideology will get the people riled up and and get them to support him. Yeah, this is the failure of Chizkiyo in the end. The failure of Chizkiyo is expressed in his two children, the Gemara and Sanhedrin that we alluded to before. And Sadi Dalar Amadez. Says the Gemara, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asos Chizkiyo Mashiach Ve'as Asher Go Gumago. Okay? And why did Chizkiyo not make it? Why did he, in fact, not become the Mashiach? Mishum Shelo Omar Shira. Because he didn't praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the salvation from Asher. That was the reason. Amru Malachi Ashares, the angels said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hare David Avdecha, right? David, your loyal servant, Shalom Kol Hashiros V'Tishpach Hasalo. He wrote a whole book of praises to you. V'lo Aso Mashiach, but you didn't make him Mashiach. Chizkiyo Shalo Amar Shira, right? Chizkiyo didn't say any songs. He didn't praise you at all. Yeah? That's why Chizkiyo didn't make it. What does this mean, Rabosai? What does this mean that Chizkiyo didn't say Shira? What does this mean? This goes back to our final question in the very, very puzzling story of Chizkiyo. Chizkiyo, we see that he spends all of his whole career as king revitalizing the people, bringing them back to the Beis HaMikdash, bringing them back to Avodas Hashem, bringing them back to Talmud Torah. And then in the very end, the thing that makes him fall, so to speak, is this very, very strange episode where these messengers from Babylonia come. And he's so happy to see them, and he takes them on the grand tour. And because he shows them everything in his house, Yeshayahu says, that's it. You're done. Right? Not only are you done, but your kids are going to go in exile with these people one day because of this horrible thing that you gave them a tour of your house. What was so bad about showing them everything in their house? What was so bad? This is what's bad, Rabosai. Listen to a Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer and Perek Nun Beis. Hera lahem es kol osros beso. Chizkiyo shows them his whole, right, all of the treasury of his house. Beis Kodshe HaKadoshim. What does that mean? All of his storehouses? He shows them into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He brings these Babylonian messengers into the Beis HaMikdash. Ves kol otros malchei Yehuda. Okay. Shepotachta lahem es haluchos. He opens up the Aron HaKodesh for them and shows him the tablets. And what does he say? Bezeh anu osim milchama v'notzvim. You see this? You see this Aron? This Aron, we go out to war with it, and we win. That's what Chizkiyo says. What's the point of this Medrash, Rabosai? Why does the king of Babel send messengers to Chizkiyo? Why does he send messengers? He sends messengers because he hears that there's something unique about these Judeans. Something is unique about them. Assyria is plowing through the entire region. They're completely unstoppable. And they arrive in Judea, and suddenly they're stopped. And we hear that there was some crazy, spooky event that happened, that the entire Assyrian army was was wiped out, and we heard that maybe it could be due to their god. Let's go and investigate. Let's see what it was. What should Chizkiyahu have said the moment that the Babylonians show up? They ask, you know, we heard these crazy rumors about some miraculous event. Can you confirm what happened? What would the ideal answer of Chizkiyahu? The ideal answer of Chizkiyahu is yes, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who has a covenant with us, who has a unique relationship with us, and we have been deemed his witnesses in the world. He does Yeshua through us. He saved us in order to perform Nisan through us and to make known his presence in the world. That's what you heard about. Instead, what does he do? Chizkiyahu shows them all of his stuff. He shows them all of his riches. Because Chizkiyahu wants to play their game. He wants to play the same game, to speak the language of Malchei Umos HaOlam, the kings of the world. What are the kings of the world enamored with? They're enamored with physical riches, with material prowess. That's what they like. That's what they're impressed by. So Chizkiyahu wants to impress them. So he shows them everything that he has. He shows them all of his stuff. He shows them all of his wealth. Not only does he show him all of his wealth, what does it mean, Rabosai, that he shows them the Aron HaKodesh and says, we make war with this and we win? You see what he's saying? He's degrading the Aron HaBris. What do you say about the Aron HaBris? You say that this is the tool that we use to make war with? No, you say this encapsulates the covenant that we have with God. This is the Dvar Hashem that sits at the center of the nation, the center of our hearts. This is everything to us. It's not just it's not a tool that we can perform an impressive trick with. This is everything. Chizkiyahu, when it says that Chizkiyahu doesn't say Shira, that Chizkiyahu fails to say Shira, is that he fails to capitalize on this moment of tremendous salvation of the Jewish people and solidify it and say, look, you see this incredible salvation that just happened to us? This is because Hashem saved us. This is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to perpetuate in the world and be his witnesses to the whole world that there is a God that created the cosmos, and we are testimony to that. We are testimony to the supernatural nature of God. But he doesn't say that. He doesn't. And when he has the opportunity to speak to these dignitaries, they come because they want to see, they hear there's something special here. They hear. But Chizkiyahu doesn't tell them what's special. He just shows them how he's like everyone else. So the messengers see, okay, the guy's, you know, he's rich, he has an army, he's like a regular king, and they turn around and they go, oh, so that's it. How close is this to what happens in our days, Rabosa? What's happening now? The entire world, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, the entire world is coming to this country. The entire world turns to Israel today for everything. I read an incredible statistic the other day. This is almost unbelievable. That 40% of all cybersecurity services in the world come from Israel. That's absolutely insane. And it's a country of 10 million people. And like almost half of an industry is just from this country. And that's just one industry. I'm not even talking about agrotech and defense and all that. Just what comes out of this country is absolutely unbelievable. And people come because they know intuitively, even if it's not conscious, they know that there's something going on here. There's something going on that's special. So they come and they ask us, what's going on, guys? And what do we tell them? We tell them about falafel. That's what we tell them about. We tell them about high tech. And you know, I have no problem with falafel. I have no problem with high tech. You know, right? You know, I'm not trying to degrade these things. What I'm saying is this is not what makes us special. This is a consequence of what makes us special. When Chizkiyahu comes and tells, and when the messengers come and they ask, what happened? What happened here? Chizkiyahu has the opportunity to say Shira. He has the opportunity to sing, to praise God. He doesn't take it. He doesn't take it. Instead, he shows them everything. And Yeshayahu says, Why did you do that? Everything that you showed them over here will be completely nullified by those guys that came. By those very people that you showed it off to, they're going to come and take everything. And this is Chizkiyahu's failure to say Shira. And it's this conflict, this schism that we find within Chizkiyahu himself, okay, is expressed in his own children. The Rav Shakeh child who abandons him in his own lifetime, who betrays him and his whole people. And Menashe, who afterwards, right, nullifies much of the religious revival that Chizkiyahu brought about. Just read you an incredible, just to drive this home, very, very interesting Targum on Sefer Koheles. So you know Koheles is written by Shlomo HaMelech while he's possessed by a demon, and in the Pasuk in Perek Yud, Pasuk Tes, says the following, Masiya Avanim, those who carry stones, Yatzev Bahem, will be hurt by them. Bokea Eitzim, the one who chops down trees, Yisachein Bam, will be harmed or endangered by them. Very cryptic. It's not exactly clear what it means. There's many interpretations of this at the pshat level. But says the Targum, Omer Shlomo Malka Baruch Nevuah, I saw in prophecy, Amemaya Dehavu Mishtabdin Min Kadomas Dino La'ama Beis Yisrael, Misgabrin Verochvin Al Susvan Ka'arkonin. Right? All the nations that were at one point allies or subjugated to the Jewish people, they will come and they will bring the Jewish people into exile. Goloi Kadamai de Menashe Bar Chizkia, Otud Lemicha Vulemisgad Tzalmo da Avnim. I see Menashe, the son of Chizkiyahu. He will prostrate himself before statues of stone. Al de Bevatel Pisgame Araisa, Dichsive Beluche Avnim. Because he nullified the words of Torah that are written on tablets of stone. So Menashe nullifies that which is written on tablets of stone, and he bows down to statues of stone. The Rav Shakeh Achoihi, and Rav Shakeh his brother, as we already clarified before, Rav Shakeh is the brother of Menashe, Otid Lemisgad Letzalma de Kesid, he is going to bow down to statues of wood. Ulemishbak pisgame araisa disyahivu ba'arona de kese, and to leave the words of Torah contained in the aron, in the box of wood, i.e. the aron hakodesh, or the aron habris. Yeah. The aron habris, the two sides of the aron habris, the actual aron itself and the luchos that are in it, that Chizkiyahu shows to the messengers of Babel. He shows them this. He shows them, and he degrades it by saying, "This is how we make war. This is how we defeat our enemies." Right? But Chizkiyahu degrades his two sons. Fall because of this. One falls the route of the stone, and one falls the route of the wood. Again, embodying what we explained before. That one falls in the material side because he feels that the king isn't doing enough to, you know, secure the material well-being of the people. That's what knocks him off. And the other son, Menashe, it's because he uses in this corrupt fashion the spiritual revival that his father brought about. He uses that as an ideological tool to strengthen the Malucha. In the end of the day, this Aron that Chizkiyahu showed to the messengers of Babel, it embodies the pathology of both of his sons. The ideal, Rabosai, the ideal that should have been. Chazal tell us, and it's also implied by the Psukim themselves, that the siege of Ashur is going on. What time of year is it going on? Like what time of year is this actually taking place? It's happening in Lel Pesach. The night that the army of Ashur is wiped out is Lel Pesach. Okay? Now, if you remember, we quoted the Pasuk opens up, right, the Pasuk that says that Vayishlach Malach, that God sends his angel and wipes out the army, it opens up with Balayla Hahu, on that night. Okay? Yeah? I'm reading from the Yalkut Shimoni, in Remez Tuf Tuf Reish Nun Ches, 1050... 1058, okay? Balayla Hahu, says the Midrash, Arba Pa'amim Ksiv Balayla Hahu. There are four times that we see the term on that night. Va'arbasam Hayu Balel Pesach. And all of them were on Lel Pesach. Yes, Achashverosh's dream is on Lel Pesach. Okay? Shtayim Biad Manea Shel Rachel. Two of them are associated with the children of Rachel. Ushtayim Biad Manea Shel Leah. And the other two are... the salvation is brought through the children of Leah. This is what it means in the pasuk in Bereishis, that Lavan has two daughters, meaning they're both equal in their stature, and that they both are bring up right. Shkulos zukazu, they're both equal to each other. Makos bechoros umapela sancherev. The Makos Bechoros, meaning in the original Mitzrayim, okay, and the destruction of the army of Sancheriv, the Adbonei Shel Leah, the children of Leah. Who are the children of Leah? In those two incidents? Huh? Right, because it's Moshe, right? Moshe is, right, from Levi, which is from Leah, and Chizkiyahu, which is from Yehuda, right. Umapeles Gidon v'Haman the Adbonei Shel Rachel. Gidon is the other time it says Balai Lahu, okay? Before he goes out to face the army of Midian, okay, and an Achashverosh Balai Lahu Nodadosh Nasamelech, yeah. Mordechai and Gidon are right. Gidon is from Menashe, and Mordechai is from Binyamin. Says the Midrash, unbelievable. Okay, listen. B'sancheriv k'siv vayetze malach Hashem vayach b'machane Ashur. He comes. The malach comes and wipes out the entire camp. Heitzitz Rav Shakeh al Hachoma. Rav Shakeh, he's there in the siege, and it's Pesach inside Yerushalayim. Yeah, they're all under siege, and it's Pesach inside. V'shama shahayu karim es ha-hala. He hears the people inside the city singing hala. The Amar leSancheriv, he goes back to his new master Sancheriv, and he says to him, Chazor la'acharecha, you should go back now. Ki nisim yaseh lehem b'zu alayla, because there's going to be miracles performed for this people tonight. And Sancheriv said, what are you talking about? What are you saying? What do you mean, Nisim? We have a huge army over here. They're surrounded from all sides. They have no hope. What do you mean, Chazor Bacha? Even Rav Shakeh, again, who abandoned his father because of the disdain that he had for this focus that his father has on the spiritual well-being of the people. This complete disdain, enough disdain that he betrays not only his father but his entire people, and joins the enemies of the Jewish people. When he hears the people saying Hallel on Leil HaSeder, he's like, "This was a mistake. This was a mistake." And he so much of a mistake that he tries to convince Sancheriv to go back. Yeah, the Hallel, right? This is. The halal is the shir. It is the shir of the Jewish people. Right? Hashir yelachem kilel hiskadesh chag, the pasuk in Yishayo. Right? That's where the Gemara in Pesachim learns that we say halal on the night of Pesach. The shir. Hashir yelachem. This song will be for you. Right? On the night that the chag is... The song of halal, Rabbi Osai. If you're just looking at cursory glance at the song of halal. The Song of Hallel is none other than the story of the Jewish people. That's what the Song of Hallel is. It's not just one long, you know, praising God, thank you, right? There is obviously Hodul Hashem Kitov Kidi Olam Chazdo. Yes, there are generic phrases of thanking God and praising Him for, right, for generic things. But it's the story of the Jewish people. Yeah? Mikimim Me'afardal Me'ashkos Yerim Evyon. Lo Shivya, Akeras Habayis Eim Abanim Smecha. All the barren mothers of the Jewish people who eventually had children. Betzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Right, Evan Masu Habonim, which is right, a reference to David HaMelech, right, the stone that was cast away. Yeah? It's the story of the Jewish people. That is the song, the shir to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is recognizing that the story of the Jewish people, is the medium by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses Himself in the world. And we have to own up to that. We have to own up to that with humility, and we have to say The shlichim of Bavel, the messengers of Bavel, are coming all the time. They're always coming. And they're always asking the same question. What is going on? What makes you people so special? They're asking that. And unfortunately, we give them the same answer. It's a different version of the same answer, but it's all the same answer. It's always, look at all our stuff. Look at all our stuff. Look at... Average IQ and Nobel Prizes and all this, this is mission, it's emptiness. These are all symptoms of what makes us special. It's all the chitzonia saying, bringing up all that stuff and the
from the Sandy Koufax to Albert Einstein. That's like saying, you see the Aron HaBris? You see this Aron HaKodesh? We can do tricks with this Aron HaKodesh. That's what it's saying. And the shear of Hallel, the shear of Hallel is saying that the entire story of the Jewish people, from this material success to that material success, to this victory, to that victory, it's all one long running story. It's all one story of Hallelu Avde Hashem. It was triggered by Avram Avinu, who called out in the name of God, and that call echoes throughout history with his children. And all the whole story is just one echo of that seminal event. And that's what it requires. Even Mashiach himself, or someone who had the potential to be Mashiach, he has to bring it home by saying Hallel. And the proper response to Chodesh Nisan, right, the month that Nisim are done in, right, the proper response is the Shira. That's the proper response. And Chas V'Shalom, to not get caught up in these externalities. Chas V'Shalom, to say that what makes us unique are these things that are completely tertiary at best, and a distraction from the Iker at worst. Bezrat Hashem. I have a lot of hakaras hatov to everyone here for making a very, very meaningful zman. And Bezrat Hashem, we will have the opportunity to be together again in the next zman. We should continue to go from strength to strength. Chizku v'yamas levavchem kol miyachlim na Hashem.